जय राधे जय राधे राधे जय राधे जय श्री राधे जय कृष्णा कृष्णा जय श्री कृष्णा जय राधे राधे जय राधे जय श्री राधे बोलो जय कृष्णा कृष्णा जय कृष्णा जय श्री कृष्णा श्याम गौरी नित्या किशोरी पीतांबरी श्री राधे रसिक रसिल खेला छबिल गुणगर बिल श्री कृष्णा बोलो जय राधे जय राधे राधे जय राधे जय श्री राधे जय कृष्णा कृष्णा जय कृष्णा जय श्री कृष्णा People can share and it's in here somewhere. Rasa biharini, rasa bisarini, yaura darani, Sri Radhe. Rasa biharini. सभी तारिणी श्री राधे जय राधे जय राधे राधे जय राधे जय श्री राधे नव नव रंगे नवल त्रिभांगे श्याम सु अंगे श्री कृष्णा बोलो जय कृष्णा कृष्णा जय कृष्णा जय श्री कृष्णा स्वर्ण पियारी रूपा उजारी अच्छी सुकुमारी श्री राधे अच्छी सुकुमारी श्री राधे जय राधे जय राधे राधे जय राधे जय श्री राधे नयन मनोहर महामोर कर सुंदर अवतार श्री कृष्णा बोल सुंदर अवतार श्री कृष्ण बोल जय कृष्णा कृष्णा जय कृष्णा जय श्री कृष्णा शोभा श्रेणी महामेनी कोकिला वेणी श्री राधे महामेनी कोकिला बेनी श्री राधे जय राधे जय राधे राधे जय राधे जय श्री राधे किरतिवंत कामिनी कांत श्री भगवंत श्री कृष्ण बोलो जय कृष्ण जय कृष्ण कृष्ण जय कृष्ण जय श्री कृष्ण चंद्रवदनी कुंडलरदनी शोभसदनी श्री राधे बोलो जय राधे जय राधे राधे जय राधे जय श्री राधे परम उदार प्रभा अपार अति सुकुमार श्री कृष्ण बोलो जय कृष्ण जय कृष्ण कृष्ण जय कृष्ण जय श्री कृष्ण हंस गमनि रजतर रमनि क्षीर कमनि श्री राधे बोलो जय राधे जय राधे राधे जय राधे जय श्री राधे रूपा रसाला नयन विशाल परम कृपाल श्री कृष्ण नयन विशाल परम कृपाल श्री कृष्ण बोलो जय कृष्ण जय कृष्ण कृष्ण जय कृष्ण जय श्री कृष्ण कंचन बेली रति रस रेली पति अल्लवेली श्री राधे शिरस रेली अति अल्लवेली श्री बोलो जय राधे जय राधे राधे जय राधे जय श्री राधे सब सुख सागर सब गुण आगर रूप उजागर श्री कृष्ण रूप उजागर बोलो जय कृष्ण जय कृष्ण कृष्ण जय कृष्ण जय श्री कृष्ण रमणि रम्य चरु चर रम्य गुण अगम्य श्री राधे बोलो जय राधे जय राधे राधे जय राधे जय श्री राधे दामनिवासी प्रभा प्रकाशी सहज सुहासी श्री कृष्ण Bolo Jai Krishna Jai Krishna Krishna Jai Krishna Jai Sri Krishna Shaktiya Aladini Ati Priya Varani Uru Marani Sri Krishna Radhe Uru Marani Sri Radhe Bolo Jai Radhe Jai Radhe Radhe Jai Radhe Jai Sri Radhe Anga Anga Tona Sarasa Salona Subhaga Sutona Sri Krishna Bolo Jai Krishna Jai Krishna Krishna Jai Krishna Jai Sri Krishna Radha Namini, Gunabi Ramini, Sri Hari Priya Swamini, Sri Radhe. Gunabi Ramini, Sri Hari Priya Swamini, Sri Radhe. Bolo Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe, Radhe. Jai Radhe, Jai Sri Radhe. Hare Hare Hari, Hare Hare Hari, Hare 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 Sri Krishna. Hare Hare Hare, Hare Hare Hari, Hare 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 Sri Krishna. Bolo Jai Krishna, Jai Krishna, Krishna, Jai Krishna, Jai Sri Krishna. Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe, Radhe, Jai Radhe, Jai Sri Radhe. Oh, Jai Krishna, Jai Krishna, Krishna, Jai Krishna, Jai Sri Krishna. Jai Jai Sri Radhe Krishna Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Nama Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dirati Swaparandikam Aradhanas Trinandantai Vridham Yachai Puna Puna Srimar Rupa Padambhujo Dulisyam Janma Jannanin Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadara Shivasri Gaur Bhaktarinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare So first of all we prostrate ourselves at the most soft and wonderful lotus feet of that Divine Personality who brought us here to Mayapur, Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. What story shall we tell? Let's see. I remember somehow Prabhupada had, I had been initiated in 1970, but then Prabhupada had gone to India and he stayed for a long time. I was waiting for Brahmin initiation. And every time, you know, they kept saying Prabhupada's going to come, then he didn't come. He kept, there was just one more engagement after another. Prabhupada was traveling all around India with first group of devotees that ever brought back to India, and just another engagement. We just kept waiting and waiting. My wife was also waiting for her first initiation, and they kept saying no waste of postage. Now our flying around bill is incredible. We were saying don't waste the postage to send your beads. Prabhupada's coming, and he didn't come, and then he didn't come, and then he came. So finally, Prabhupada came, and that time we were in Houston, Texas. We had gone to open up the Dallas Temple, and then the temple president decided that there wasn't enough devotees to help him open up the temple, so he decided to get me married. So then I got married, and then we got transferred to Houston. So from Houston Temple, we went up to Dallas, and then from Dallas, we joined with all the rest of the devotees, and we drove in the van out to L.A. So, first thing happened was that the question came up that it had been a long time that my wife had been a bhaktin, and I was getting Brahmin initiation. So Prabhupada said, wife should follow the husband, so she should also get first and second all at once. And then there was a few devotees who had been waiting for a long time, so the question came up whether they should get first and second also. So then Prabhupada called them all into his room, and he asked somebody, who's Krishna? And they said, Supreme Personality of Godhead. All right, you can take Brahmin initiation. Then he asked somebody else, who's Lord Chaitanya? And they said, and so the second person said, the most merciful incarnation of Krishna. Prabhupada said, no, he's Krishna himself. You can take initiation also. I forget what he asked my wife, but anyway, he agreed everybody could take Brahmin initiation. So then, afterwards, we were all of us who got Brahmin initiation, we were supposed to come one by one upstairs to Prabhupada's room, and he was going to give us Gayatri mantras. And then something happened. Prabhupada had to go to some engagement, so it was canceled till noon. And our Sankirtan van was going back at 2 o'clock because they knew noon we'll get our mantras and we can pack up and then we can go. Then Prabhupada came back, but there was still something else. And they said, you come at 5 o'clock. And I said, our van is leaving at 3 o'clock. It's not possible. And so they... So Nandu Kumar, he went upstairs and he told Prabhupada the situation. He said, all right, let them come. So then we both came up together. And as soon as we walked in the door, Nandu Kumar started chastising. I told in the beginning that, because when he first made the announcement early in the morning, he said, everybody come one by one. He said, I told you to come one by one. And Prabhupada just laughed. He said, they are husband and wife. Let them come together. So then, Prabhupada motioned us to come and sit down. He was sitting on a great big cushion behind the desk. And we had gone and we'd picked some flowers from the garden. There was a special type of flower in L.A. There's a whole bunch of little flowers, but it makes one flower is actually a big ball like this, sort of lavender, sort of like Janavis, her Chatter's color, this design under that color, like that. So, we came into the room and the Prabhupada motioned us to come, and there was a mat on the side. So Prabhupada's desk was here, Prabhupada was sitting here, and we were sitting on the side here looking. Prabhupada was sitting in this big cushion. He just looked like this transcendental cowherd boy sitting on top of this big cushion, just looking down at us on the side, So then he showed us how to count, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. So he said, each mantra you chant 10 times. Huh? Like this, 1, 2, 3, 4. So you do. So then I did. So then he got out the piece of paper and gave us both pieces of paper and said, now you repeat after me. So then we repeated all the mantras. Then he looked at me, said, take off this kurta. You know, said, how he's going to put Brahman thread with kurta. So in front of my spiritual master, I felt like stupid, you know, pulling out his kurta. I felt like a complete fool, you know. So then, I'd never worn a Brahman thread, but you know, and I'm amazed, you know, Prabhupada took, I don't know if you've seen Brahman threads, right? Are you Brahman initiated? Not yet. But they always come all wrapped up in a special way, you know. And even till today, I always get completely entangled. You know, you just unwrap it and it, all of a sudden it's just, you're just sitting there, you know, for 3 hours, you know, trying to straighten it out. Anyway, Prabhupada just took it, untwisted it like that, untwisted it like that. He had it undone just like that. In one, practically one motion, just. And I never wore Brahman thread before, so I didn't know whether to put it this arm or whether to put it this arm, so Prabhupada just put it over me like a garland. He said, your older god brothers will show you how to wear properly. So he just put like garland like that. Then he looked at us and he said, so now you execute this Krishna consciousness very enthusiastically as husband and wife. That was his instruction to us. So we started out our Krishna consciousness being cooks, and I was a cook, and I was the temple president, and my wife was a cook. We were just always engaged very enthusiastically in Krishna's service, together as husband and wife. So then, oh, that's right, when we first came in, we'd offered those flowers to Prabhupada, and he just smiled very sweetly and very graciously accepted the flowers, put them down in his desk, so they were sitting there. So then we had an envelope, so somewhere, you know, I had to get my kurta and fumble around and pull up. We offered some dakshina to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada said, thank you very much. And then we got up, and we started walking out the door, and we were just like backing through the room and backing up to the door, radi-radi. And I was singing, and Nectar Devotion says, one should not fail to offer praise in front of the spiritual master. And I think, my God, I didn't say anything, you know. This is going to be a big offense, you know. And I was backing up to the door, and I got to the door, and I couldn't think, you know, this is going to be a big offense. Nectar Devotion says you should not fail to offer praise in front of the spiritual master. And I got all the way to the door, and I couldn't think of it as I said. So I just said, Jai Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada, he was already busy on his desk with whatever he was doing, you know. And he just looked up with one of those smiles like a million suns are rising in the sky, you know. Prabhupada just smiled so sweetly. Just when you saw Prabhupada smile, it was just like millions and millions of suns were rising in the sky. There's nothing to describe it, you know. Incomparable. Prabhupada just, he just looked up and he smiled like that, you know, and said, Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. So yesterday we were on the bank of the Jamuna. And we remember that there was Sangya, then there was someone else named Chaya who was trying to tell Radharani that, don't you see? The Lord eternally resides, because Krishna says, among the stars, among the lights, I am the sun. So she was trying to say, well, sun god is here, that's just the same. And then Visakha scolded her that we don't even care for Narayan, but to speak of the sun god. You know? So who's Chaya? She's also wife of the sun god. So what happened was that this Sangya, as remember, she was very upset about the tej, the brightness of her husband. So she ran away and hid in Kurukshetra. She took the form of a horse, of a mare. So then, all the demigods, they flipped out, you know, because everything runs by the sun. You know, the sun comes up and the day's activity starts. The sun goes down. We measure the days. And everything is growing by the sun. Everything's going on by the sun. And we know what happens. If somebody loses their spouse, you know, for days on end, you know, for months, they're just completely crazy and completely, you know, I had a friend who went through a divorce, you know, and I had to go over to his house every day and wake him up, you know, Prabhu, you know, 10 o'clock in the morning, get him out of bed, he'd take a pill to wake up, and, you know, this becomes a big disturbance. So all the devas, they said, now what will happen if the sun god finds out that his wife isn't around, everything, the whole universe is going to be disturbed. So quickly they made model, image. Chai also means like reflection or image, or means, usually means shadow, but it can also mean, because the shadow has the same form, you know. So chaya, they made chaya, image of Sangha. And they sent her down, you know. So the sun god, for a while, he didn't realize what was going on. But one day he noticed that that somehow there was some partiality, because Chaya had her own children. So she was partial to those children rather than the first two children. So sun god got suspicious that why is she so partial to the younger children? And then by his mystic power, he understood that this was not his original wife. Then he became very angry. You know, and then somehow he was going to go to Viswakarma, the what kind of girl you gave me, he was going to curse him and everything. Viswakarma offered beautiful prayers and said, what can she do? You know, you're just so bright, you know. So then he reduced his brightness. I think the Sudarshan Chakra became part of one. Some way he reduced himself by 16 times. And 16 different items were made. One was a chakra with Indra's thunderbolt. I can't remember the whole big story, but anyway. And when he found out that Sangha had become a mayor in Kurukshetra, that he went and became a stallion. And thus we get the two Ashvini Kumars. Because Ashva, you know, Ashva means horse. So the sons of the sun god and Sangha in the form of horses are the Ashvini Kumars. She had another pair of twins. Anyway, so that's Chaya. She was the one that the demigods made so that he wouldn't be upset and the things, universal affairs would go on. So, from Ramgat, then we wander on down the way and we come to a very beautiful forest called Biharvan. And there's a beautiful ashram there of sadhus of the Nimbarka Sampradaya. And they have beautiful goshala there, and just very sweet place. And I can't remember, which Puran, but this forest was made by the gopis themselves for the pleasure of Sri Krishna, Biharvan. It's a very, very natural place, because Nimbarkas, they like to, you know, I've seen one of their ashrams, you know, the tree was growing toward the house, so they just knocked off the corner of the house and let the tree grow by rather than cut off the branch of the tree. So it's a very natural, peaceful place. And even they had Nilgais in their goshala. Wonder if they had a baby Nilgai there. So it's a very sweet place, Biharvan, made by the gopis. Personally planted and maintained by the gopis. And then as we wander down, we come to Akshay Bhat. But, you know, like Bamsi Bhat. Bhat means banyan tree. What do you call in Bengali? Huh? Thing, alright. So Akshay. You know Akshay? Shy means to diminish. So Akshay, I have a godbrother. He used to be Prabhupada's bodyguard, big tall fellow from England. His name was Akshay. So Akshay, when you put Ah on the front, then it becomes which never diminishes, never ends, has never diminishes whatsoever. Eternal. So this is Akshay Bhat. This is a eternal banyan tree. Actually, in Kali Yuga it shrunk. In the previous ages, the cowherd boys in Krishna, in Krishna's time, they used to climb up this Akshay Bhat. Its branches were so long that they could climb up on the branch and go running across that branch. Because I've even seen a big banyan tree sometimes has branches because they have little roots coming down that hold it, they can just go straight for the longest way, and they would just run across that branch, and there would be a root on the other side of the Jamuna. They would go all the way across to the other side of the Jamuna, and then go down the root and be on the other side of the Jamuna, like that. Such a beautiful, wonderful banyan tree. Now in Kali Yuga it's shrunk. But this very beautiful place, Akshay Bhatt, is there. And special notes on Akshay Bhatt? No. So, in Akshay Bhatt, the cowherd boys, sometimes they would go climbing up that tree, and they would jump into the Jamuna, and they would laugh and play, and, you know, just like sometimes when we're on Braj Mandaprikam, especially at Kamyavan, there's a nice tree that has a big branch out over the water. And one year we got a rope and swing out there, and sometimes now we don't have rope, and the brahmacharis, they dare each other and they go way out in the end. And so the cowherd boys like that, they were going out on the Akshay Bhatt and jumping into the Jamuna. And you know what happens after you swim for some time? Your fingers get wrinkled. That also happens. But that's if you stay in the water too long. But you get very, 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 very hungry. Isn't it? After you've been swimming, then you want to just come back to the temple and take prasadam. So, they were very, 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 very hungry. So they all sat down underneath that Akshay Bhatt. And they all sat. First there was Brijananandan, Shyam Sundar in the center. Then around him with his most intimate cowherd boys, 8 most intimate cowherd boys. Then around them, 16 intimate cowherd boys. Then around them, 32. Then 64. Then 128. Until there was megabytes and megabytes of cowherd boys sitting all around Krishna. And everyone saw that Krishna was looking at him alone. There was megabytes and megabytes of cowherd boys, and everyone saw that Krishna was smiling at him alone. And they were all taking their lunch together. And having a grand old time, and the cows were nearby grazing. At least they thought they were nearby grazing. Suddenly they looked up, and they saw the cows, because cows, they're always hungry. No matter how much they eat, they're always hungry. In fact, if you're not careful, they'll eat themselves until they die. Because one time somebody came to the manor and they donated all these bags and bags of apples. And when Shyam Sundar wasn't looking, he's in charge of the goshala, one of the cows got loose and she just ripped open the bag and ate so many apples that she finally just fell on her side, completely bloated, and died. They just, if they get into the grain, you know, they will just eat and eat and eat, and they're always hungry. And they're foolish. We don't like to use that word in for cows, but anyway, in that sense, they're foolish animals. So they just eat and eat. So they're always hungry, and especially if they see the grass is greener a little further away, then they go a little further, then they go a little further. So the cows, they were seeing the grass is greener over there. So they went over there, then they went over there. And suddenly the cowherd boys looked around and they saw all the cows were gone. And they said, oh no, all the cows are gone. So they ran after the cows to look at where are they gone. So meanwhile, there was one demon named Byomasur. You know Byom? Byom means sky, just like Param. You heard the word Param Byom, the spiritual sky, the Param Byom, the sky beyond the sky, Param Byom. So Byomasura, he was able to go in the sky. So he saw what was that Krishna and Balaram and all the cowherd boys and calves were in this forest. Now this forest, just near Akshay Bhatt, is called Munjatavi Forest. There's one big forest called Ishikitavi, and within that there's a Munjatavi, and the Munjatavi is filled with this big, long grass. Just like sometimes when we go on Braj Mandaprikama, then on both sides of the path, there's big, long grass with this little white, feathery thing. You saw? Sometimes on Braj Mandaprikama? So whole forest was just filled with this tall grass, and it was summertime, so it gets a little dry. And you know what happened when grass burns? Big, tall, dry grass burns? It just burns like anything. So if Bhaumasura, he set it on fire, then he was in the sky, he began to blow, and those flames were reaching all the way up to the sky. And just a huge roaring sound, and all the cows were crying. And all the cowboys, they had been going along looking, here's some half-eaten grass, here's some cow dung, you know, here's the hoof print. And suddenly they heard this crackling noise, and they saw this fire, and all the cows were going, huh? You've heard sometimes in Goshala when they're really upset. So all the cows were crying, and they saw this big fire. They didn't know what to do, and they ran back to Krishna. And the fire came after them, and they all ran to the cows, and they were surrounded by fire in all directions. And everybody was praying that, oh, Krishna, please save us. The cows are going to die. We're all going to die. Please save us. And Krishna said, all right, just close your eyes. Everybody close your eyes. So the cowboys thought, well, Krishna's going to chant some mantra, and it's a secret mantra, and nobody should be looking when you're chanting secret mantras, so therefore he's making us close our eyes. Actually, what Krishna thought was that now I'm going to swallow this fire, and if these cowboys go home and tell Mother Yasoda, you know, I mean, I got so much trouble. These guys told that I ate a little dirt, you know, and I got so much trouble for Mother Yasoda, just meaning dirt. Now, if they go back and tell her that I ate fire, really going to get it. So he told them all, close your eyes, you know. Then he just cupped his hands and went. And just like drinking nectar, he swallowed at that big fire. Then he told everybody, all right, open your eyes. And when they opened their eyes, there was Krishna sitting in the center, then 8 cowherd boys, then 16 cowherd boys, then 32 cowherd boys, then 64 cowherd boys. Everybody was sitting with their lunch bags, and the cows were nearby. Everything was just like, and they were beginning to wonder, did that really happen, or did it really happen? Was it just a dream? They were all sitting there. They were just glorifying their wonderful friend Krishna. So then, from Akshayavat, we wander on down, and we come to Tapovan. You know, tapasya. So what tapasya happened here? The gopis worshipped Katyayani for 1 month. In this place. So they did tapasya in this place. So this is called Tapovan. Because it's the month after Kartik. It's a little bit cold. Not so cold like Magh. And within the hearts of all the young gopis, the desire to have Nandanandan as their husband blossom, just like the Kunda flowers that blossom in the wintertime. And all of their parents also became very pleased, seeing that their daughters were desiring to have husbands and wanted to perform some tapasya in order to achieve wonderful husbands. So they all encouraged them. And their mothers asked them, that, oh, dear daughters, you are so soft and so sweet. How will you be able to tolerate taking baths in the Jamuna and eating only this? They make this special type of khichdi with no salt. How will you be able to possibly? So the discouraging words from their mothers only made them even more determined to follow their vrat. And the mothers ask him, which devata are you going to worship? Who is the acharya? How is the worship done? The gopis said, we have a devata within our mind, and our mind is also the acharya. Whatever our mind tells us, we are going to follow that and worship like that. We have a special vrat. So every day, all the little gopikas, they would come early in the morning, and they'd be running down the path. They would all join together at a secret place that they all arranged the day before, a secret place to meet. and they would all go running through the forest, just like, it looked like a garland of golden lotus flowers just running through the forest, and they were all giggling, and it's a little cold, and they're all wrapped up in their warm chadars, and they would come to the bank of the Jamuna, and they're blinking their lotus petal eyes and looking at the water, and a little bit of, it's cold in the morning, so this, you know, from, they have beautiful pearl-like teeth, and from between their teeth their breath is coming out. You can see little clouds coming out like this, you know, as they're shivering by the, you know, thinking about going in the water. Then somehow or other they throw off their chadars and put on these beautiful white cotton bathing outfits. Then they look at each other with their beautiful lotus petal eyes glancing at each other, who's going to go in the water first, you know. And they're all shivering, and their pearl-like teeth are chattering, and somehow or other, their beautiful black tresses, they all go into the Jamuna and laugh. Then once they're in the Jamuna, they begin to laugh and joke and push each other. And then after a few seconds of that cold water, they all jump out like that, and with little towels they begin to dry themselves, and they're all effulgent with this happiness that they have courageously braved the cold waters of the Jamuna. They're all very happy with this happiness is blossoming within their hearts, and they're drying themselves off and shivering a little bit. And then they go down to the bank after they're all dry and dressed properly. Now we're going to have a special class that our Nisringa Kavacha will never give you. But this is the deity worship of the gopis. First they made a deity of Katyayani out of sand. They made a little deity of Katyayani out of sand. And they decorated her very nicely. And then, first they offered her padya, water for washing the feet. Oh, Katyayani, please accept this worship of your feet. And may our breaths be cooled by this padya water, which reminds us of Lord Krishna's perspiration. Help us to meet our beloved Sri Krishna. Then they offered argya. O Devi, worshipped by all the demigods, we offer you this argya in hopes of attaining the association Krishna, our Maha-argya. Then they performed achman. O Devi, we offer you this pleasant achman. That we can obtain the taste of Sri Krishna. This pleasant tasting, we're offering this pleasant tasting achman that we may get to taste the nectar of Sri Krishna. Then they offered Madhuparka. O Devi, please accept this sweet Madhuparka that is so nice mixed with honey, and please allow us to taste the nectar of the honey-like lips of Sri Krishna. Then again they offered achman. O Devi, we offer you this wonderful achman that it is just like nectar, that we may get to drink the nectar of the lotus mouth of Sri Krishna. Then they offered oil. O Devi, please accept this oil with which we massage all of your limbs, and please attach all the limbs of our body to each of Sri Krishna's limbs. Then, for removing the oil, they offered this very nice powder that was just like, it was just like the spray of nectar. It was so soft and sweet. O Devi, we offer you this fragrant powder. Please remove the sour within our hearts and give us, as we remove the, you know, the oil, you remove the sorrow from our hearts and give us the association of Sri Krishna. And then they offered water mixed with camphor in a golden vessel. O Devi, we offer you this scented scented bath water mixed with camphor in the hopes that you will bathe us, that we will be bathed in the association of Sri Krishna. Then they offered her a sari with golden threads. O Devi, please accept this golden saris and bless us that our clothes will get mixed up in exchange with Krishna's clothes. Then they offer jewels. Oh, Devi, decorate yourself with these wonderful abhushans. We talked about abhushan, ornaments. That we, and let us be adorned with the limbs of Sri Krishna. Then they offered ointment made with aguru, camphor, and musk. Oh, Devi, we offer you this ointment that is wonderfully scented, that you may please be, see it, that we become anointed with the nectar of Krishna's limbs. Then they offered scents. Oh, Devi, we offer you these scents we offer you these wonderful scents that enliven the nostrils, and may our limbs become fragrant from the aroma of the touch of Krishna's limbs. Then they offered flowers from the six different seasons. Vrindavan is such a place, you can get six different season flowers. Oh, Devi, we offer you these wonderful flowers. Oh, Devi, we offer you these wonderful flowers, especially these kunda flowers that are just as white as the teeth of Sri Krishna. Then they offered agarbati. Special agarbati made with the guru, khas, and gulgul. Oh, Devi, we offer you this incense that by this incense may your effulgence increase and pure. Then they offer deep. Oh, Devi, just as we are offering you this lamp to illuminate yourself, please illuminate the house of our breasts with the lamp of Lord Krishna's Kaustubha jewel. Then they offered bhog. Oh, Devi, please take these wonderful sweets and cakes and so many things that we offer to you, and bless us that we may get the remnants right from the mouth of Sri Krishna. And then they chanted their mantra. Katyayani mahamaye mahayoginyadishwari Nanda Gopa Sutam Devi Patime Kurute Namaha. You can repeat. Katyayane Mahamaye Mahayogin Yadishvari Nanda Gopa Sutam Devi Patime Kurute Namaha. O Katyayani, Mahamaya, O great energy of the Lord. Maha Yogini, you're a great mystic yogini. Adishwari, and you're the controller of everything. Nanda Gopam Sutam Devi. Sutam, we know. Nanda Gopa, Nanda Maharaj, and his Sutta, his son. Nanda Gopa Sutam Devi, O Devi. Patim, you know Patim, husband. May that son of Nanda Gopa become our husband. Pati me kurute namaha. All together. Katyayani mahamaye mahayogin yadishwari Nanda Gopa sutam devi pati me kurute namaha. Then, after they finished their puja, then they offered tambul. Said, O Devi, please accept this tambul made from betel cloves, cardamom, and camphor, that our lips may be colored with the tambul of Krishna. Then they performed artik. O Maheshwari, we offer you these lamps. Please illuminate our limbs with the glow of Krishna's limbs. And then they offered their obeisances, that you are a great yogini, you are able to do anything. There's nothing impossible for you. Somehow or other you make arrangements. They offer so many prayers. Somehow or other you make arrangements that this Nanda Sutta become our husband. So like this, every day for 1 month, the gopis were very ardently performing their vrat. And gradually, because they weren't putting oil in their hair, their hair became a little dry and cracked. They weren't taking massage with oil, their skin became a little tight. They weren't eating very much, so they became very thin, and their luster was going down. Although they were wearing beautiful jewels, their luster was going down like this. And they weren't putting any ointments on their lips, so the natural beauty of their lips was shining through like anything. And this way they were reforming their penises and austerities. And each day they would increase the worship in their enthusiasm. Every day they would increase the worship. Finally it came to the last day and they brought so much paraphernalia for the worship. And they all ran down and they did their worship. And then now we've completed our vrat. They just, without even putting on their bathing cloth, they just threw off all their saris and everything, and they all jumped into the water completely naked. And in the water they began to squeeze each other and push each other and splash and have a good time. Meanwhile, Nandananda, and he, of course, he's within everyone's heart. He could understand the purpose of their worship. That although they were worshipping a demigod, everyone else in Braj thought they must be worshipping to get a lot of money or to get this or get that, some type of material benefit. Because generally, people go to the demigods to get some type of material benefit. But the gopis, they weren't worshipping Kachayani for any type of material benefit. They were only worshipping Kachayani in order to become Krishna conscious. So we cannot, this is not exactly deity, demigod worship in the ordinary sense. So they were very, very excited now. So they were laughing and joy. So Krishna, he was in everyone's heart. He knew their desire. So giving some excuse to Balaram and all the cowherd boys, he gave them the slip. And he took a few little cowherd boys who were very, very young, only 3 or 4 years old, who don't know what is man and what is woman, like that. Very innocent and pure-hearted little boys. They came with him. And then from the bushes, he spied the gopis playing in the water of the Jamuna, pushing and splashing with each other, like that. So then he tied up all of his hair underneath his turban and he took off his ankle belts, and then with sharp eyebrows he told his little friends to be quiet, and then looking hither and thither just like a thief, he ran and scooped up all of the garments of the gopis, and he climbed to the top of a kadamba tree, and he again told his cowherd boy friends to be quiet. And he sat there in the kadamba tree enjoying the scene of the gopis splashing and pushing and squeezing each other in the water. So finally they had been in the water for quite some time, and they realized now was time to finish their bath. And all of a sudden their beautiful lotus petal eyes, just like black bumblebees, went straight on the bank of the Jamuna, and there's no cloth on the bank of the Jamuna. And they all began to cry, oh no! And they looked this way and that way and this way. It was just like little fish, their eyebrows and eyelashes flashing this way and that way. It's like little fish jumping on the surface of the Jamuna. They're just looking this way and that way and this way and that way. Where is our cloth gone? And they can't see anyone or anything. They said some demigod must have come, because all we can see is cow footprints and the footprints of the birds, and the demigods don't leave any footprints, so it must have been the demigods. They've stolen our cloth. Now what shall we do? And discussing like this, Krishna is sitting in the tree. Suddenly he manifested a wonderful aura and he began to laugh, and he said, oh girls, don't be disturbed. I have stolen all of your clothes in order to attract your minds to me. So now offering your pearl necklaces as an offering, you just please come out of the water and give up your pride and come and take away all of your saris from my hand. When the gopis heard these joking words of Sri Krishna, this was like a stream of nectar in their ears. And they realized that this was the fruit, the result of all of their austerities. But still, they were being plucked, pinched by the gopi of modesty. And they were outraged, and they immediately, as soon as they saw Krishna was there in the tree, they immediately went down into the water up to their necks. And they were standing there shivering. And one of them said, "You say something, defeat him with your clever words." And the other one said, "No, you go say something." And then they all just looked this way and that way and avoided, keeping their eyes just from the corner. They were seeing him in the tree, and they were just looking this way and looking that way and thinking, "Now what should we do?" So finally one gopi said, "Are you not the respectable son of the king of Braj? And shouldn't you be following proper behavior? You're the respectable son of the king of Braj. You should maintain proper behavior. This is very unjust that you're calling us to come out of the river naked like this. This is an abominable act." How can you engage us in it? We deserve your mercy. You're merciful to everyone. You're known as the most merciful to everyone. So we deserve your mercy. So please be merciful. Your conduct, this gross conduct of yours, is like death to all the virgins of Braj. You'll become infamous by doing this. So please, just leave our garments on the bank and maintain your spotless fame and go away from this place." And then said, "But if I put your garments on the banks, then somebody may take someone else's and somebody may take someone else's. They may get all mixed up." And the gopi said, no, we're very honest. We never touch anyone else's property. You leave them there, we'll definitely take our own." "Well, if you're all honest, then why don't you just come and take your saris? What's the problem? What's the difficulty? You're honest, right? So come and take your saris. What's the trouble?" Then the gopis still, they're just looking one way or another, and they're chastising him that this is unfair. You shouldn't joke like this. And Krishna says, "Oh, lotus-eyed gopis, I'm not joking. I never speak a lie. My words are always true. I never speak lies. So I'm not speaking a lie. You should all come and just take your garments, as I said." So another gopi says, that, "Oh, Shamsundar, please remove the pain from our hearts and do not destroy religion. You are causing us to deviate from the path of Dharma. You are known as the most merciful, but you're not showing any mercy to us. We would all rather drown than stand naked. Give us back our clothes and please go away." And the third one says, "It is very difficult to walk the path of Dharma, and we have never deviated. We have never spoiled our character. But this vile behavior, how can you do such vile, how can you manifest such vile behavior? And in Vrindavan, the most holy place. Please save us from this injustice. Otherwise, we're going to complain to the king." And Krishna says, "Why are you speaking like this? If you're my servants, then you should do what I say. A servant never considers whether the service is agreeable or disagreeable. He simply acts according to the order of his master. And you all say that you're my servants, so just do as I say. Don't spoil your family reputation by this disobedience. And as far as the king, what will the king do? Let him come here. Now, the longer you wait, you guys are waiting so long, I think I'll just make a hammock out of your cloth and stay here, because I was up all night, so I'm just going to sleep here if you guys just are going to be like this." And the gopis again, they're pleading and said, "Oh, But your cows, they've wandered into a cave on Govardhan Hill. Why don't you go there? You have to go there and save them. Otherwise, we've been performing this austerity for months, so we're not at all. We can stay here as long as we want. And Krishna says, yes, by seeing you, actually, I've also developed a detachment from householder life, from household, house and home. So I think I'll also stay here for 1 month, along with all of you. In this way, they're making so many arguments back and forth and back and forth. So finally, the gopis, they look at each one, looks at the other, says, "You go first." I don't know, you know. "Oh, well, now what's he going to do next?" You know, "This is enough." You know, "Now we're going to, you go first." "No, no, no, you go." They're all pushing each other. "No, no, you go." They're all hiding behind each other, you know. So finally, their teeth are chattering, their feet are becoming numb like that, and their joyful attachment for Krishna is overcoming their modesty. So taking all of the, very carefully they take their long black tresses and very strategically place it on their bodies, and they come partway, they start coming out of the water. But when they reach up to their waist, suddenly the gopi called modesty begins to pull on their hearts, and their bliss for Lord, their bliss for Lord Krishna's association is pushing them forward, and their modesty is equal to that and pulling them back, and they're standing there waist deep in the water and they're unable to move. And Krishna says, "What is this? It is not proper to stand in front of someone with your hair down like that. This is not at all even if you consider that I'm an ordinary person, you never stand with your hair down in front of an ordinary person. This is not at all proper. You should immediately arrange your hair properly." All the gopis look at each other. So finally, with their bangles tinkling, they take their arms, raise their arms, and take their hair and tie it around their heads like this. And now Krishna, now come forward and sit down on the bank of the Jamuna. So finally, looking at each other, they finally come out of the water of the Jamuna, and Krishna says, "Now you sit down," and they sit down, putting their hands in some sort of a way, and Krishna begins to lecture them about how you have taken bath in such an improper way. This is very improper, and there's only one way you can be saved from this offense that you have done. You have to come one by one, and raising your hands above your head, you bow down and pay obeisances and take your cloth from me. So one by one, all of the little gopikas come, and raising their hands over their head, they bow down and offer respects to Krishna and take their cloth. So one by one, they're just lost in the bliss of conjugal attraction for Sri Krishna. And after they're all dressed and standing there, and the rays of the warm sun are warming them up, and they're already, their hearts are warm with, drowned with affection for Lord Krishna. Lord Krishna says, "Now you all go on home. You should not stay here in the forest any longer. One night will come and we will all enjoy together. I have just tested to see your actual love for me, and I am very pleased with you. One night we're all going to enjoy for a very long time in the forest. Now you all go home." And looking back, they hardly want to move, but Krishna is encouraging them. So one by one, they make a little line of gopis, always putting little glances backwards, seeing Krishna standing there with all his little friends. And then Krishna, he wanders back to his friends. So this place is known as Chirgat. It's like if you go to Vrindavan, in Vrindavan town you'll find a Chirgat, but this is the one where this pastime took place. It's about 6 kilometers upstream. And when you come to that place, it is so beautiful, peaceful place. And there's a kadamba tree there. It's the most amazing kadamba tree I've ever seen. Because all kadamba trees, their branches, like you see all these, they have all their arms are going up in the air. All these are shouting, "Gauranga! Gauranga!" You see all their branches are going up. And all their leaves are up. But when you see this particular kadamba tree at Chirgat, all his leaves hang down just like cloth. You look up and down, you can see other kadamba trees, and all the branches are up, and all their leaves are pointed up like this. But this one, all the leaves are pointed down, and they're all the branches sort of droop, and all the leaves sort of hang down like cloth. It's a very, very huge old kadamba tree right on the bank of Jamuna there. It's a very, very amazing place. One time when I took my godbrother Maruvisa, we went on this side, because I don't go, so I have to study so much, because we don't go this side, there's not many roads to get to these places. So we don't go here so often. So that's why this part of the class is, you know, the second part of the class is more ecstatic for me, because I have to go dig deep and find out all the details of these pastimes, and not repeating these all the time. So this is very wonderful. It's actually a wonderful experience for me also. But we went there one time, and we decided to take baths. The first thing we had to do was make horrible faces and make horrible sounds and chase. Because as we started walking, all the little boys of the village came, you know. We had our bags and, you know, money and this and that and whatever we had with us, you know. And we were going to take off our clothes and leave it on the bank along with all our wallets and whatever. And all these little boys kept coming, so then we had to chase after them until they, oh, you know. I don't know if you've seen Maruvisa. He's quite big. You know Maruvisa, huh? He came here, he's centennial he came here, maybe after that also, but then he was here. Anyway, we just, you know, made these horrible sounds and looked as fierce as we possibly could and drove them all the way back to the village, and then we went down. And as we were, after bathing, we were sitting there, and I suddenly saw this funny cloud, and as I looked, this cloud kept changing its form, and after a while I suddenly realized that many, many times in the Goswami books, they describe Radharani's beautiful braid just like a swarm of bees. Now, I never, you know, all right, sounds nice. But we actually saw it. This cloud was actually a swarm of bees. And it took that form just like that. You know, just like if you're looking from the back and you see the hair all around like that, then it comes down and becomes just like that. It was just moving along through the sky, just like Radharani's little braid. I finally understood what was the meaning of this analogy. It was just so sweet. All the bees, they just made a little thing, and it just kept changing form. And just like, you know, Radharani was running, and her braid was going like this behind her, like that. And they were just flying along the banks, and they flew right over our heads. And it was just the most sweet, sweetest sight. So from Chirgat, we go down the ways a little ways, and we come to Nandagat. Oh, one thing we forgot is very interesting about the story of the cows wandering off into the Munjatavi forest. Because the cows represent the senses. Sometimes we say go for a sense, just like go also. Goswami means who controls the senses. So the cows are the senses. And the green grass is the objects of the senses. So the cows, they wandered away from Krishna, being absorbed in the objects of the senses. And you know what happens when we get absorbed in sense gratification? Suddenly there's a burning fire in our heart. We don't find any satisfaction. Just like there was one group, they wrote some song. I can't get no satisfaction. So I try, and I try, and I try. I can't get no satisfaction. So our hearts, we try and we try and we try and we try, we never get any satisfaction. So the cows, they wandered, the senses wandered after the objects of the senses, the green grasses, and then they found themselves in the blazing fire of material existence. And then what did they do? They called out to Krishna. And when they called out to Krishna, then they were saved from the blazing fire of material existence. But this is our position. We're always being attracted. Maya is always glittering. And we never learn. This is our problem. Just like I remember when we were a young devotee, one time we were in Berkeley Temple, and there was some type of appearance day or some special day. We had to fast for half a day, and I was like, fast. We didn't know what a fast was, you know. A half day fast, oh my God, this was horrible, horrifying, awesome. Somehow we managed to survive the half day fast, and then, you know, there was noon artik, and we chanted, you know, the noon artik, and then we all ran to the prasadam room, and we all sat down, and we were ready, you know, we chanted the mantra very especially fast, you know, and the servers were serving out, and of course in those days it wasn't illegal, and of course some of us, we don't really care for this legality anyway, but they made nice chocolate cake from artificial carob. Real chocolate. With artificial carob icing on top. Oh, and this cake looks so delicious. And we've been fasting for half a day, you know. All the way up to, you know, it's like one, by the time the Arctic's over and everything's 1 o'clock. Oh, you know. And everybody was just... So finally, as soon as we finished that mantra, everybody grabbed that chocolate cake. But unfortunately, the neophyte cooks have put salt. And we bit into that cake and... But then I looked at that nice creamy icing dripping off this chocolate cake. Maybe there's some bad taste from fasting in my mouth or something. Again, you know, some of us took a second bite, you know. And some of us still weren't convinced. We had to take a third bite, you know. So this is our position, you know. We just see this material world and all the nice things in it, and we just run, and all of a sudden we get totally frustrated. And then, I didn't do it right that time. This time I'll get it right, you know, even in Krishna consciousness. But now I'm Krishna conscious. Now I know how to enjoy without getting frustrated, you know. I'll try again, you know, and again and again. One day, you know, it has to sink into our brain, you know, that sense gratification equals pain. One day it has to make the connection in our brain. And then we'll call out to Guru and Krishna, and Krishna will save us from this deep, dark material existence. So anyway, now we've come to Nandagat. So, Nandagat, as you can imagine, this is where Nanda Maharaj came to take his bath on the Dwadasi day, just like today's Dwadasi, but we're following Mahadwadasi today, instead of Ekadasi. But he was following Ekadasi, so he came to this ghat to take his bath. But that pastime we'll tell tomorrow. We're going to tell some other pastimes, since we told the pastime about Prabhupada, and we told pastimes about Krishna. We haven't told anything about from Chaitanya Leela. So, at this Nandagat, there's a very special pastime that took place. There's one time in Vrindavan, Jiva Goswami had just arrived. He came here and he went all around Navadvip. This is where the Navadvip Mandal Prakrama comes from. Nityananda Prabhu took Jiva Goswami all around the nine islands. And then he told him, you hurry to Vrindavan and join your uncles there, Rupa and Sanatan. He stopped in Benares and studied under Madhusudan Vachaspati, the disciple of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. He studied Sanskrit. Then he finally came to Vrindavan, and he was such a learned scholar. Rupa Goswami engaged him in helping him to edit his books. So they were editing Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And they were sitting there by the bank nearby, not far from the Jamuna one day. And just so happened that Balabhacharya happened to come by. By this time, even when he met Mahaprabhu, he was quite old. So this is much later. So he must have been a quite elderly gentleman at the time, elderly Vaishnava. And he saw the young Rupa, and recognizing him as Mahaprabhu's associate, he sat down and said, "What book do you have here that you're working on?" And he saw this book, and as he read it, he began to criticize. "It's here you said, bhukti mukti spriha pisache vire bartate. Pisachi means ghost. So here you're calling mukti a ghost. That mukti that is glorified in Srimad Bhagavatam." Because mukti, actually for us, we know mukti really means like that. So mukti is glorifiable. How you're calling it a ghost, this is not proper. And so many things he found fault. And Jiva Goswami was there. He was fanning Rupa Goswami. He didn't like to see any perspiration come. But he didn't see his guru say anything. So he kept his mouth shut. But he was saying, "There's nobody in the whole universe who understands Krishna consciousness like Rupa Goswami. Who is this fellow to try to find fault with his works?" But since his guru didn't say anything, he didn't say anything. Then Balabha said, "All right, now it is time, it's noon, I have to take my bath." So he wandered down to the Jamuna to take his bath, and Jiva Goswami followed him down. And Jiva Goswami said, "What faults did you find?" He said, "Just see, it says bhukti mukti spriha." It says, spriha means, you know? Spriha means desire. He says, "The desire for bhukti and mukti is the wits that's vidai vartate, that is haunting our hearts." It doesn't say that mukti is a witch. It says that the desire for mukti, that desire for bhukti or mukti, that is a witch. In this way, whatever points Balabhacharya had raised, Jiva Goswami just cut them all to pieces until this Balabha, he was so amazed. This young boy, he's so amazing. So he finished his bath, he went back to Rupa Goswami. "Who was that young fellow who was standing here?" And he told him, "He's my nephew and my disciple." He said, "He's amazing. He just completely smashed all of my arguments, you know. So your book is perfect the way it is. I'm just an old man, so sometimes, you know, we just like to tell people what to do. That's the business, old men and old people. So you don't bother." And he went away. Then Rupa Goswami went over to Jiva Goswami. He said, "What is this? Our senior Vaishnava came here. Out of the kindness of his heart, he wanted to help me. His desire was to help me in my service. And you didn't have the patience or tolerance to listen to what he had to say. And you criticized him. You're not ready to live in Vrindavan. You better go back home until you learn a little patience and tolerance and respect for your elders." Rupa Goswami threw him out of Vrindavan. So Jiva Goswami, he wandered and wandered, but he couldn't leave Braj. He came here to Nandagat. And he found an old crocodile hole. It used to be crocodiles. Now if you go swimming in Jamuna, you don't have to worry about crocodiles. You've been to Vrindavan? Rohini?
Yeah, but I didn't go to
Jamuna. Well, next time you come to Jamuna, don't worry about crocodiles. There aren't, but there used to be. So there was an old crocodile hole, so he lived in an old crocodile hole. Just fasting, and sometimes people gave him some atta, flour, and he would mix it with the Jamuna water and make little chapati, without even cooking them, just eat the dough, little chapati dough balls like that. In this way he was doing his bhajan and thinking himself a great offender. And gradually, by living like that, he was becoming quite sick, and sores were coming in his body and ulcers in his belly and so many things. Meanwhile, Rupa Goswami in Vrindavan, he was having great difficulty now finishing his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And one day Sanatana Goswami said, "It seems like you're taking a long time." So he understood that, oh, there goes our Kokila. Finally we saw one. So he told him how he chastised Jiva and his Acha. So one time Sanatana Goswami, he was wandering here and there and here and there, and he came to a village called Baigram. You know, Bai, just like Prabhupada's name, is Abhai. So Bai means fear. Now that's another type of Bai. But Abhaya means Bai. Baya means fear. So this is Baigram. Because we're going to hear tomorrow how Nanda Maharaj got a big fright at this place. So they came there, as soon as they saw Sanatana Goswami, oh, Baba Gosai has come, Baba Gosai has come. And they were all so happy to see him and said, we heard all about how you threw away a very nice, costly blanket and took an old, beaten up one. We heard how you ate the rice that even the cows didn't eat. But there's a newcomer in our village down by the bank of the Jamuna, and he does austerities you wouldn't even believe. He just eats takes a little flour and mixes it with the rice, the water of the Jamuna, and he's just there all day long chanting, Ho Krishna, Ho Radhe, Ho Rupa, Ho Sanatan, Ho Krishna, Hey Gora, like that. He's calling out. Sanatana Goswami said, nobody could do austerities like that except Jiva Goswami. He ran down to the bank of the Jamuna. He saw Jiva Goswami. He was so emaciated. Jiva Goswami saw him. He wanted to get up, but he was just lying on his side. He couldn't even roll over to pay his obeisances to his elder uncle like that. And Sanatana Goswami embraced him and heard the whole story from him. So then he couldn't walk, so then he got some of the Brijbasis to carry Jiva Goswami. They went back to Vrindavan. He left him outside of Sanatana Goswami's hut. Rupa Goswami's hut. And he went in and he said, in your books, what have you written about our duty to the jivas? He said, jiva ko daya karo? We should be merciful to the jivas? Jiva daya, what is that? Nama, jiva daya nama ruchi vaishnava seva. Nama ruchi jiva daya vaishnava seva. So jiva daya, jiva ko daya karo. We should be merciful to the jivas. That is our duty towards the living entities. And you're not merciful to your own jiva? So Rupa Goswami heard Sanatan say this in a very funny way. And he thought for 1 second. He said, where is jiva? He says he's outside. Immediately Rupa Goswami ran outside. He embraced jiva and they gradually, slowly, slowly nursed him back to health. And then he finished his Bhakti Yatramita Sindhu very easily with the assistance of Jiva Goswami. So Jiva Goswami is living in this old crocodile hole at Nandagat. So tomorrow we're going to hear why this Nandagat near that village is known as Bhaigram, fearful village. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki.